Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
Are dog bites a problem in Marion County? Let's go in-depth with Corey Frank with Marion County Public Health. So, Corey, are dog bites a real problem in the county?
Bob, at times they can be. We will go through stretches where law enforcement, contacts me on a not almost daily basis, but we have several in a week. We may go a stretch where we don't have some for a while. But to be quite honest with you, I don't think the dog bites are as a big an issue as much as just at times where we have people that are not properly caring for their animals or don't have control over their animals, I would guess, more than, but we do have a fair number of dog bites at times. And seems to be when those things occur, it's in the summer months when people are out and about. Wintertime, we don't have a lot of that. We have some, but in the summer months, spring, people are out about walking their dogs, playing with their kids, or their dogs are outside in a fenced-in area. We have a fair share, and they are mostly concentrated to our, more densely populated parts of the county, not necessarily out in the county. We have had some incidences there, but they are primarily focused within more populated parts of the county.
Do we know why dogs bite?
If you look at the science or the behavioral science on that, most of the time dogs are biting because they are either afraid, scared, hungry. Those are the primary reasons why animals bite. Even when we talk about rabies control, when we're looking at, the nature of a bite, was it provoked or unprovoked? And that leads to us down a road with our rabies investigations we do that tell us things. But, they bite mostly, if they do just aggressively bite, that's a whole another degree of a problem, because that means that animal probably is an aggressive breed. There are aggressive breeds that are more tend to bite, but that doesn't necessarily sometimes correlate to dog, to deaths caused by certain breeds, and that's a whole another discussion to have. But I think actually, if you look at the history and the data, probably golden retrievers are probably rank really high in the number of quote unquote bites, but we don't have high degrees of deaths caused by golden retriever bites. Golden retrievers may bite or nip if they're playing, because there's a prevalence of golden retrievers. It's like the most popular breed of dog in the country. So there's more of them. So there's more bites. But why they bite, it still goes back to the environment that dog is in.
It seems like whenever I've been worried about getting bitten, somehow I've managed to find myself in between two dogs that don't know each other. Is that common?
Yeah, that's common. Like I said, it's a territorial thing. That's another reason why, dogs will bite. I mean, they're defending their turf. And so even with law enforcement, and when we look at what occurred in a dog bite situation, when we're looking at our rabies investigations, we're looking at that too. Where did the bite occur? Did it occur in the backyard of the dog, the dog owner? Did it occur in the middle of the street? I mean, they're territorial. So, when two dogs are, obviously in the same proximity to each other, they're going to, try either to defend their turf, defend their owner. That happens a lot. Now, the dogs are very loyal. I mean, animals have that in their nature to defend and, to at all costs their turf.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about biting dogs with Corey Frank with Marion County Public Health. Now, why do you care where somebody was bitten?
The biggest reason why we care is because of our rabies control program. We care like I said, the state, there's state law, state statute, and then good public health practice, you know, out there that we're trying to control rabies. Now, the chances of, or the last known rabies bite or occurrence from a dog has been quite a long time ago, but you know, we don't want to be that next, one time it happened either. So, you know, rabies control is the reason why we care about the nature of the bite, where the bite occurred, how it occurred, the severity of the bite and the location of the body, you know, because all that will play into the either post-exposure control for potential rabies. You know, we're trying to work with our primary care providers out there. You know, that's our job, is to interact with them and give them the best advice that we can.
So let's just say I get bit. Mm-hmm. I go to the hospital and I say I got bit. What happens?
Mm-hmm. Well, if you go to the hospital, you get bit, and you say you're in the ER, the state law requires that the ER notifies either law enforcement or the board of, quote unquote, board of health or their representatives. Well, our office and public health is that representative. So they will contact us. Usually, if there's a dog bite that occurs, there's law enforcement involved. They'll contact me as well. But I get contacted through them or dispatch, you know, 24/7. I mean, all the deputies, officers know that if there's a problem, that they're to contact me 24/7, because time is a critical part of that, of the whole process. So once you get bit, you contact, and I get contacted, then we'll start that investigation with the victim and with the dog owner. And if we don't have an owner, then there's a whole nother avenue of how we respond to that.
And there's an investigation, and then at some point you have to determine whether or not the dog has rabies if you find the dog. Is that true?
True. There's two or three, the protocol right now that we're operating off of from the Department of Public Health. If an animal does not have any known history of rabies vaccination, meaning it may be a stray, that we have, no owner, no tag, nothing on, or say an owner just never did vaccinate their animal, then unfortunately that dog, an animal is going to have to probably be put down, euthanized in a humane way, and then the testing will occur to determine if the dog had rabies or not. A lot of it then too also looks at the nature of the bite, but unfortunately, we, like I said, we don't want to be that one in 1 million or 1 in 1,000 chance. So if it's a dog that's not vaccinated at all or no history, then that is the first step.
Why does it have to be destroyed?
Well, when they do rabies testing, they have to test the brain material. The it's a virus, so the brain is what they're testing of the animal. So that tissue, you can't take a brain tissue without unfortunately taking the animal. So right now that's the only test that they have available. It's come a long ways as far as the ability to test. In other words, I can get a test result within 4 hours if they get the sample at the lab in Iowa City, with the state hygienic laboratory that does the testing for us. But unfortunately, the only way to test is to euthanize the animal.
And I bet people don't understand that. They don't like that at all.
No, they don't like that at all. And I don't, to be quite honest with you. I mean, that's not the part of the job that I enjoy the most either. I mean, because usually the reason we've gotten to that step is, unfortunately, most of the time, not the animal's fault. And it goes back to proper vaccination, and that's the thing that law enforcement, here this summer, there's been quite a bit of problem with that, where we have these animals that have bitten someone. May have been an innocent, it wasn't anything provoked, unprovoked or provoked, but when they're not vaccinated, our hands are tied, so they're not, most time people are not very happy. But there are occasions here like that occurred during the Nationals here. We do have a large number of people come into town, obviously. And a lot of times they bring their animals. And we had an individual who brought their aggressive breed animal to town. And that dog ended up biting a family member And at that point, that family member, they were afraid that that dog could bite again. And the breed, you know, the with that breed of animal that it was, that more than likely was going to probably occur. So, you know, people are not very happy for the most part. Sometimes they do, they understand, they don't want the liability, they don't want anybody else to have a problem. You know, there's been deaths that have occurred here in the last few years, you know, close to our, you know, county, and up in Jasper County, there was a small 3-year-old that was killed here a year or two ago from a dog that, you know, most people just don't want to have to worry about the finding their loved one in that position. So,
yeah, and nationally, most of the deaths by dog are kids.
Yes, and I think, I mean, like when we talked about the nature of why dogs bite, you know, a lot of times those children, you know, they are more than likely to get in that dog's face. They're a foreign, you know, sometimes they're on the same size as that animal. So, you know, a dog looks at a child, you know, in a different way than they do an adult. I've always been told that if you look at a dog or any animal in the eye, and they don't have a problem with being intent on you. In other words, most animals will look away from you because you are an alpha male or you're the dominant species, especially if you're larger than that animal. They will respect that. With children being smaller in size, I think, you know, what I've read is that, you know, that also leads to that why children are bitten, because they are, you know, they don't look at them, you know, in the same, or don't have the fear of them like they would, say, an adult.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about biting dogs with Corey Frank with Marion County Public Health. Now tell our listeners why you're using the term aggressive breed rather than specific breeds. Straight up,
Bob, I mean, yeah, there's statistics out there. Aggressive breeds include pit bulls, pit bull, strat terriers, Rottweilers, and a couple other even. In that category, there's boxers and things like that. Now, those are our aggressive breed animals, and those animals throughout history were bred for aggressive purposes. And so, you know, but the reason why, you know, it's a very hot topic or, you know, touchy subject, because people that own some of those aggressive breed animals, you know, they are very loyal to them. They're very sensitive to the fact that, you know, well, it's not the dog. It's, you know, there was a circumstance that occurred that caused that animal to attack or bite somebody else or another animal. There is truth to that. Like, for example, pit bulls, which, like I said, you know, like the animal that I talked about that bit an individual here this last week during Nationals, it was a pit bull. It all of a sudden turned aggressive. And according to the police, or call summary from the police report, you know, the individuals indicated the animal had quote unquote mental problems. Well, but it was very evident, because the animal had no vaccine history, that there was neglect, in my opinion, upon that animal from that owner. So it wasn't properly trained. And if you talk to anybody that, say, a pit bull owner or a Rottweiler, it goes back to that topic, that they feel that most of those animals that have bitten were not properly trained. So, you know, the stats are there. I mean, you can look, you know, we've discussed in the past about the number of deaths, you know, and the type of breed of animal that those deaths are, you know, from. It just seems like when you have those aggressive breeds, just the nature of how they were built, you know, if they have that lock jaw and the force in that they can exert a bite is different than a Chihuahua.
Right. And so I sort of opened Pandora's box there. I guess because we may as well be straightforward.
Sure.
An aggressive breeds is just a better term,
right,
in the sense so that people,
yeah,
it's such a controversial topic, and sure, we don't really want to be controversial with it, but we need to tell people what,
sure,
we're talking about with aggressive breeds.
Right. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we've talked about you know, when we look at the history of the dog bites that I've dealt with here in Marion County since I've been here, the majority of them are not pit bull or quote unquote that aggressive breed. I mean, I would say the majority are, you know, the everyday, you know, the little rat terrier in the backyard, and the little kid goes out there and plays and they get bit, you know, because they were in their territory. So I don't want people to think that, you know, that the only dogs that bite in this county are pit bulls. But a lot of times, anytime when we have something dealing with law enforcement, there have been an occasion, because a lot of bad people use some of those aggressive breeds to do bad things.
Okay. And so I guess the bottom line message that you want to get out today is, one, control your dog, and the other is vaccinate them.
Correct. I mean, it really is hard for me to understand. You know, I'm an animal owner. For that $15 vaccination that you can get from your vet, you can avoid hundreds, even thousands of dollars in expenses because of that $15 vaccination. If your animal is vaccinated or has a history of vaccination, there's a whole other protocol that we follow that includes quarantine. And that would be what we prefer. And, you know, there is science behind that and the reason why we can do that. So if we have an animal that's vaccinated, we still have to do a quarantine to observe it to make sure isn't showing a rabid type of nature. But, you know, it's a lot cheaper than the euthanization. If that's at the expense of the owner. We get the testing done for free in Iowa City. However, nothing really is for free because our tax dollars from the state pay for that at the state hygienic laboratory. So there is a cost there that's hundreds of dollars in testing. The, say, law enforcement time that's going to the call, my time. So there is a cost of everything. But if that $15 vaccination would, to me, is a lot more economical and cheaper and better for everyone.
And more humane.
It's not that dog's fault. I mean, I feel there's times where we've had to have animals put down that, you know, if that dog had that $15 shot, we wouldn't have been doing that. But unfortunately, we can't take a chance with a life. And there's really no mild case of rabies. I think there's been one individual that supposedly has received a dog bite. It was a little girl, I believe, in Minnesota. For whatever reason, they don't have any idea why, but that girl was able to, you know, she had rabies and she survived it, but they don't know how she survived it. It was a fluke because it's about, you know, 100% fatal. So that's the reason why we do what we do, because we don't want that one time. I don't want to go to that door of that or make that phone call to a mother, or I'm sure our law enforcement do not want to do that either, or our medical providers, and say, you know, your child has rabies because of this. You know, we want to do everything we can preventatively, so we don't have to do it reacting to the situation.
Thanks to Corey Frank for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.